Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Okay, so as Andy said, I'm Carol Rossborough. If you don't know me, I have been in this community for over 13 years, which is incredible. I've been married for 12 of those years. My dear husband is somewhere over there. We have a five-year-old daughter, and I just want to say it's a real privilege to be here on a Sunday morning. I have sat under Andy's teaching for 13 years over there mostly, and it's really shaped my life. And along with good teaching, the presence of Jesus, and being part of your community, it has been the backbone for me to go through a lot of healing and to really step into much more. So I'm very thankful for all of you. Thank you for being such wonderful, beautiful people. Okay, so we have been in a sermon series on courage, if you hadn't noticed. And this Advent season, we're talking about courage at Christmas. Last week, Johnny Gillespie did an absolutely brilliant job, and he spoke about the life of Joseph as a father and a husband. This week, we're going to look at the life of Mary. So we're going to look at Mary's response to the call of God on her life with faith and action. And you're going to be hearing me say that a little bit this morning, that courage looks like faith and action. So we're going to look at Mary's life. But first of all, I want to ask you if you know this guy. Does anyone know who this guy is? Any of you two know who this guy is? Okay, give me some answers. Usain Bolt. Why are we talking about Usain Bolt? Right, here's my question for you. Do you think it would be reasonable to say that Usain Bolt is favored genetically to accomplish this massive sprint, right? He's a world record holder. In fact, while setting his world record in the 2009 Olympics, his top speed was, anyone can guess? 27 miles per hour. I'll take my jumper off at this stage. I'm getting warmed up nicely. Yes, it was 27 miles per hour. Do you think that it would be safe to say that Usain Bolt is a little more favored than me, for example, genetically? If you were to put your bets on it, who would win the Olympic sprint? Be nice. Right, this guy, right? I would have to agree with you wholeheartedly. I would say that Usain Bolt is favored genetically. Now, here's my question for you. Was it down to his genetics entirely that he won the world record? Okay, tell me why. What else did he need to do? Okay, training. What else? Hard work and eat food. Okay, good one. That's a good one. I would say that he had to have faith. Do you think he needed to believe in himself a little bit? Okay. Here's my point. Why are we talking about Usain Bolt? Here's my point. No matter how favored we are by God, no matter how many prophecies we have had, glory moments in the presence of God, we need two things: to take hold of that favor and to see the fulfillment of those promises in our lives. Those two things are exactly the same things that Usain Bolt would have to achieve his incredible world record. Those two things are faith and action. In fact, I guarantee you that there are more people in the world that have the exact same genetics as Usain Bolt, and they do not win the world record. You can have incredible favor on your life, but until you put it into action, until you believe in what the Lord has given you, and you start taking steps into that action, only then are you going to see the fulfillment of that on your life. So today, that's what we're going to focus on. We're going to look at the life of Mary and the calling of favor on her life. But we're going to look at in the moment when the angel Gabriel encounters her and speaks this incredible call on her life, that she needed to partner in that moment, lay aside her fears and partner in faith and courage to have that incredible legacy of being the mother of Jesus. Okay. So do you have a Bible? Let's dive into the scripture a little bit here. It won't be on the screen, and I did that on purpose. If you have a Bible, lift it. If you don't have a Bible, use your phone. And we are going to jump into Luke 1, 26 to 38. Okay, I'm going to give you a wee moment to get there. Here we go. There we are. I can see that better. Okay, you there? Great. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." And watch that word, it'll come again. "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you, and blessed are you among women." When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." Let me see. Is that the right one? Yes, sorry. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And then the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who will be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Okay, good stuff. All right, when we think about the nativity story, this is my daughter. This is her dressed up as Mary, and that's her little best friend, Harry Wilkinson, who we hear about constantly. So when we think about the nativity story, quite often we stay in that place of Christmas and the baby Jesus in the manger and everybody dressed up lovely. And I think Johnny did a great job of going into this last week about Joseph and the little stool and, you know, the donkeys. And it's lovely and it's heartwarming. But what we want to do this morning is actually take a look at this story with fresh eyes. As adorable as they are, let's try and think about Mary as a woman. She's, I think Johnny mentioned, she's probably quite young, around 14, 15. And we're going to take a fresh look at this encounter with the angel in her life. All right. Before we jump into that, bit of pop knowledge. I loved researching this out. I loved researching the pregnancy and her relationship with Elizabeth. A little bit of pop knowledge. Here we go. When Mary visited her cousin Elizabeth, how many weeks pregnant would she have been? I actually want to get some answers here. So we know that the story goes, the angel Gabriel spoke this incredible prophecy, and then the scriptures said, with haste, she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And when she encounters Elizabeth, she greets her, and the scriptures said that she was filled, Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit, and even the baby in her womb leapt as she encountered this. Can anyone tell me how pregnant Mary was at this stage? Say again? 13 weeks? 30? You're saying 30 weeks? So big bump, right? Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to just let you know because it's fab. She's 1 week pregnant at this stage, right? So she has this encounter with Gabriel, and the scholars say she went with haste, so meaning almost right away. So she has this incredible word of prophecy. She goes straight to Elizabeth. They say the travel was about a week long. And when she gets there, she has this moment of encounter with Elizabeth, where Elizabeth is blown away by the presence of God. Why am I parking here for a moment? I just couldn't pass this opportunity up while I was delving into Mary's life a little bit here in the Christmas story about how early she was. This is a tiny, tiny embryo, right? And so she maybe didn't even know she was pregnant. And, you know, ladies, you know, there were no pregnancy tests back in ancient in Nazareth. She had no little blue line to decide, okay, the Lord's will has been done. So she encounters Elizabeth, even at this tiny stage of an embryo, this tiny conception of who Jesus is. He was impacting the world around him. Where she went, the Lord, God Almighty, dwelt within her. As she went into Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth was filled with the presence of God. She said, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord would come and dwell among me? Blessed are you among women." And then she starts to prophesy over Mary. Everything that the angel has said to you will come to pass. So there was the confirmation that Mary needed, that she was indeed carrying the Messiah. I loved it. I mean, for me, just the story between Mary and Elizabeth is a beautiful one. They're related, they're friends, and they both encounter Gabriel. In fact, Zacharias, Elizabeth's husband, encounters the angel Gabriel in the temple, and the Lord speaks over a child that hasn't been conceived yet, who was John the Baptist, and declares prophetically his worth and his value even before he was conceived. And we see this in Mary's life, where the angel Gabriel prophesies over her the life of the child that she's yet to conceive. Do you feel the weight of God that he's putting this privilege, position, this honor, this destiny on the unborn child? Even as a week old embryo. I just think it's powerful and it's beautiful and it's definitely worth having a wee mention here. Lovely. So let's get back to the angel Gabriel and Mary. Johnny did a great job of talking about Mary being betrothed, so I'm not going to go back into that, but we need to know that being betrothed in Mary's day was much more than being engaged in today. It was a legally binding contract, and to get out of it, she needed to have a divorce. So it was a big deal. So her life was busy. Her life was exciting. If you've been around anyone who's engaged, generally that's all they talk about. If you've been around anyone whose daughter is engaged, generally that's all that mother will talk about. In fact, my own sister got married in July, and the only thing my mom talked about for an entire year wasn't about Grace getting married, it was about the house. Is the house ready? Is the house painted? Are the beds ready? Have we painted the kitchen for the 10th time? And so it drove my dad absolutely nuts, to the point where he would ring me just as an agony aunt to talk about my mother. So you know the sense of excitement over a household where someone is getting married. It's a big deal. Mary's life was probably exciting at this stage. She was nervous. She was probably having conversations with her friends about this moment of taking on a husband. It was a good time. She had good plans. Can you catch the excitement in Mary's life at this point? Joseph was a catch. I'm sure he was handsome. He was a respected man. She could see the path before her feet, and it was a good one. Sorry, I should be there. It was a good one. And then what happens? Gabriel arrives. And I love this. If we look at this scripture, and you know, I had a good laugh about this, but in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to Nazareth. He visits Mary, and then it says, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice!'" So he just, you know, enters the back door. Do you get that sense that this was an interruption? In my mind, when I was thinking about this, she was in the kitchen. You know, she's kind of making a stew or whatever you did in the kitchen back in Nazareth in those days, and she's just enjoying life, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Gabriel arrives. Gabriel arrives. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' When she saw him," he was already speaking at this stage. "When she saw him, she was troubled. 'Yes, Mary, I would also be troubled.'" So I thought that this felt very interrupting, quite sudden. I get the sense that he was already speaking, barging through the back door, and then she sees him and she is troubled. Do you ever get that with the favor of God? Have you ever had that moment in your life where you have good plans and things are going well, and you think, well, you know, God's brought this into my life and God's brought this into my life, and suddenly the Lord interrupts you? Yeah, it can feel like you're getting hijacked. Sometimes God's favor can feel fast and furious, and it can be interrupting. We're going to see in this next section of scripture how Mary reacts to that interruption with faith and courage. She reaches out and partners with God in her declaration, and she accepts God's will in her life. But before we move on, I want to park on this topic of interruption just for a moment. I want to tell you a quick story of interruption in my own life, and then we'll march on with Mary's fabulous declaration on how she partners with the Lord in the call on her life. I was driving in the car. It was Monday morning. It was really early. My dear husband was driving, and at this stage, we were working in the same place. So I had my coffee, and, you know, 8 in the morning, I'm kind of daydreaming, and he's getting us to the place we need to be on time, which is generally what he does in our marriage, gets us places and understands where we need to be. So I rely on him too heavily for that. So I'm half asleep, and generally when the Lord speaks to me, it's in the still, quiet moments or through the scriptures. But on occasion, and I would say very rarely, I get almost a fully formed thought. And that's what happened that Monday morning. It was about 2 years ago. And I had that moment where the Lord spoke. And it lands in my mind out of left field like a fully formed thought. And he said to me, "I'm going to invite you into something. And I don't want you to say no to it." Fully formed thought, Monday morning. I thought, what on earth is this about? But I loved it. I parked it. I went away and I thought about it. And to give you a bit of backstory, at that point in my life, I was pretty maxed out. I was working a tough job. I was tired. I was parenting. Child wasn't sleeping. You know the drill. You're maxed out. And in fact, there was a course that I wanted to do that I had looked up. The application form was actually on my laptop. And I had said no to it because it was going to take up a significant chunk of my week and my free time. And I just thought, I can't do it. I don't have the time. I don't have the bandwidth. And I'm going to say no. In fact, I got invited into that course by somebody I didn't know. It was a co-founder's course to start a business. And I said yes to it. And I had to really wrestle out how we were going to do this because it meant more work for Andy, my husband. He would have to do all the childcare on a Monday night and get the dinner on. So it was a partnership. We had to say yes to this. It took sacrifice. It took courage. It took faith. And it took action. In that moment, God called me to something that I wasn't prepared to give up anything for. And he said, "Follow me, take this step. I don't want you to say no to it, even though you feel maxed out, even though you feel like it isn't the right season, even though there's good things happening and your bandwidth won't go any further." It's almost like, you know, when you're in the car and you're in third gear and the engine won't go any further and it just feels like you can't go any further. In fact, what the Lord was telling me to do was change gears. I need you to go faster, and actually going faster is going to feel better. It's counterintuitive, but sometimes that's where he puts us. Do you need to change gears today? Do you feel maxed out? Is the Lord calling you to change gears? And what does that feel like? What does that look like for you right now? That's what happened. What happened in the next 2 years was God's favor opened doors. We started a business, and that's thriving. It's going really well. I left my job. I'm now full-time in this business. And that was God's plan. Now, I want to pause here. That sounds like an awesome story. It sounds like a bit of a triumph. It sounds like it was very easy. I want to say that God's favor isn't just about blessing and work and material possessions and money and, you know, having a happy and joyous life. That's not what it's about. In fact, I have encountered God's favor in a season of my life that was incredibly dark, incredibly difficult, where I had 5 to 6 years of my life, many of you pastored me through it, where what God did was champion me in healing the foundations of my life. So if you're in a position right now where you're going through some reconstruction in your soul, some reconstruction in the foundations of your life, God's favor is on you for that season as much as it is on you for starting a business or taking on kids ministry or, you know, opening your home to a home group. And just to say before we move on, you just have to look at the life of Joseph. If you know the story of Joseph, where he went through being sold into slavery, being put into prison for years and years of his life. And from the moment we see Joseph's story, as difficult and painful as that journey was, the Lord says that his favor was on him, right? He called him a prosperous man, and he was being sold into slavery. He looked like the promises of God were never going to happen. And I love what Gunter preached about 2 weeks ago, that even in the depths of darkness, even when we don't see the promises of God, that we need to keep those promises in the forefront of our minds. We need to know that the favor of God is on us, not just for the seasons of reaching, but for the seasons of repair and of healing and the seasons where it feels incredibly dark. God is for us. So what is the Lord saying to you? Is it a season of healing? Do you need to take on counseling? And what are you doing about it? Are you taking action? Because faith and action unlock God's favor. And it pushes us forward, whether it's on a journey of healing in the foundations of our life or a different season of reaching for something in the kingdom. We need to take courage. We need to partner with him. We need to believe what he's saying, and we need to take action. And he will champion you in whatever it is you're facing with the strength of his own hand. So back to Mary's story. She's just had this encounter with the angel. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And she's thinking, "Awesome, I've got favor. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son." Hold the phone. Right? Okay, you're there in the kitchen with her. The angel's favor, I'm good with that. I'm terrified, but I'm good with favor. I'm going to what? Okay, so you get the sense of tension here in the favor of God. Not only that, "And shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." How do you feel in that moment? Do you feel the weight of this call on Mary's life? She would have fully understood the weight of what was being said here. She's just been told, not only are you going to become pregnant out of wedlock, where she would almost certainly be rejected by her family, by her village. Johnny talked last week about she might be stoned. This was a very serious thing for her life. Can you imagine her reaction to this? What was going through her mind in that moment? A woman being pregnant out of wedlock, would Joseph walk away from her? How is it going to feel for her family? This isn't just rejection for her. This is her mother. This is her father. These are the people who love her. She is taking on the call of God that puts everything in jeopardy for her. Everything that's stable in her life right now feels like it's falling through the floor. There was a lot at stake here for Mary to say yes to God's favor and blessing in that moment. God's favor on our lives is a privilege. It is an honor. But it can be incredibly costly, and it can feel like an enormous weight. Why would we bear this cost? And it's because of legacy, isn't it? It's because we get to partner with God. Mary gets to partner with God in this moment. She gets to lay aside her fears. She gets to say yes to a calling and a legacy in that moment. She gets to be the vessel that God champions his kingdom through. She gets to become eternally known, eternally blessed. She gets to steward the life of Jesus into this world. Amazing. So God's favor on our life requires courage. And courage looks like faith and action. Yes. Courage looks like faith and action. God's favor can be immensely costly. But why would we partner with him in that cost? Because we get to partner in his favor. He champions us when we take that step of courage, when we believe him, when we step out, and it leads to legacy. All right, let's look at this incredible moment of legacy unfold for Mary. "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And then the angel said to her, 'The Lord, the Holy Spirit will come upon you.'" The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, and listen to the angel Gabriel pull on her faith right now. He's trying to encourage her. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Do you get the sense of the angel is saying, come on, Mary, believe. This is enormous. This is scary. She's trembling. I imagine the weight of this. She's on her knees. Why me? How can I possibly steward this calling of carrying the Messiah into this world? The angel Gabriel is encouraging her faith. Do you think she needed faith in this moment? I think she did, right? I think she had a choice. We always have a choice. She needed to believe that this was going to be embodied in her. She needed to believe. And you hear the angel calling it out in her. Come on, even your cousin Elizabeth, who was barren, is now in the sixth month of her pregnancy. And we know that when she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, she gets that confirmation that yes, indeed, Elizabeth is pregnant. And Elizabeth prophesies over and says, everything the angel spoke over you is going to come to pass. Blessed are you among women. We need to believe, and we see in Mary's response here that she believes. And I believe in this next declaration, which is here, in this next declaration, we see something incredible happen. Because this is the moment that she partners with the will of God. This is the moment that this is her action. She has her faith moment, this is her action moment. And she says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And I believe in my head, other people will have their own opinions, I think that this was the moment of conception. I think as the angel spoke out the word of God and the will of God over her life, and she partnered with faith and action, she stepped up and declared yes and amen to that promise of God on her life, that is when the miracle came into being. It takes incredible courage for any woman to take the journey of motherhood. And I think in this story, we see something amazing happen in Mary's life. It's a story that we can so easily pass up in the scriptures, but it is a story of immense legacy, of immense cost, and just immense courage. So courage looks like faith and action. And when we partner with God in faith and action, we get to unleash his will on the earth. I want to change gears here slightly, and then we will wrap up. We're coming in for a landing here, folks. But I want to pause here, and I want to look at who is this baby in the manger? So much around Christmas in our minds, Jesus is the baby in the manger. So much when we look at the Gospels, he's the man in the Gospels. But I want to ask you today, do you know him as God? Do you know him in the beginning and the end? Do you know him before he was the baby in the manger, before he was the man in the Gospels, before he was the Messiah, before he was the Jesus on the cross? Do you know him as the everlasting, the Alpha and the Omega? Because I believe that when we draw our minds out as to who Jesus is, in his omnipresence, in his majesty, in his holiness, as the very God that created the very fabric of time and space, only in that moment are we able to look at the Nativity story and appreciate what happened when God came down at Christmas. To capture that awe and the reverence, we need to go big. We need to look at who God is. It's one of my favorite scriptures because this is Jesus. This is him and his creator and his magnificence. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. Did you know that? Do you know him as Creator God? He is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Do you know him as God? Do you know him as Savior? Do you know him as friend? And I'll finish with this. I think every other religion in the world has a ladder that you have to climb up, right? You earn points, you get good karma. You earn points and you move up that ladder. But that's not our God. That's not the Christian God. That's not the God that we worship. That's not the Jesus that we worship. He came down the ladder. He came down the ladder because he knew that we would never make it. That we would never make it. And I love that. I love that about his character. That in his holiness and in his deity, he decided to come down. Even that his feet would touch this earth in our brokenness, in our sinfulness, in our darkness. But he wouldn't leave us there. He wouldn't leave us there. In fact, he is the light of the world. And John 1 talks about Jesus as the word that everything was created through, and it talks about him as the light. Do you know him as the light? He came down at Christmas to give us light in the darkness. Do you know him as Savior? Do you know him as friend? Do you know him as home? He came to make his home with us, that we could make our home in him. All right, let's pray. If I can get you to stand. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I pray, Jesus, that you would come, that you would give us a fresh and a deep revelation of your identity as God the Creator. In the beginning, that you, Lord Jesus, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that through you all things were made. Holy Spirit, come and bring us a fresh revelation of your kingship. Give us a fresh revelation this Advent season of who is this baby in the manger. Help us, Lord, help us, Holy Spirit, to frame in our hearts and our minds just what happened this Christmas season, that we would know the weight of this miracle, the weight of this miracle in Mary's life. Yeah, come, Holy Spirit. And Lord, I ask as well that there would be a fresh revelation of awe and wonder and reverence. That you would come and just rest on our hearts, open the eyes of our spirit again to this incredible story, this incredible moment in the scriptures. Let us know the weight of this moment, that we wouldn't pass it by this Christmas. And this Advent season, breathe fresh fire into our hearts. And I just want to ask, if you want more awe and wonder, if you have been on that journey of following Jesus for decades, for a long, long time, and you want that fresh fire, you want that moment of falling to your knees under the weight of the gospel again, I would just welcome you to come. Our prayer ministry team will be up here. I believe the Lord has that for us this season, a fresh wonder. So come, Holy Spirit. And if you have never known Jesus as home, and if your heart is longing for rest and you're tired of climbing that ladder, just know that he's for you this morning. Just know that he has rest for you this Christmas season. And I would invite you to come to the front as well. We would love to pray for you. So if the prayer ministry team would come up, we would love to pray. And if you have any needs, physical or emotional or spiritual, we would love to pray for you guys. Thank you so, so much.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.